Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. The doctors are looking to see if they have any information about what's going on
and
with
the
dizziness.
I have found a paper on orthostatic hypertension, published back in 2013, and it's kind of interesting. It's the first sentence. Orthostatic hypertension refers to an increase in the blood pressure upon assuming an upright posture. Mm. This clinical condition has been understudied and is often underappreciated in clinical practice, probably because of its unfamiliarity to many clinicians, including subspecialists. Mm. That certainly includes me, because I've never treated it. There, and if you read this, they do a case presentation on a fellow, and they talk about what they think may have been triggered in him, but nobody really knows. Mm-hmm. They believe that this is a baroreceptor dysfunction, in which the receptors within our blood, arteries and heart, make a mistake. And instead of having, thinking that they think that we drop too much, and so they actually trigger a rise. Heart speeds up and starts pumping much more heart or much more difficulty. Is your fellow a type 2 diabetic or?
He had only current A1C 5.3.
Mm. 5.3, okay, so. Wow. Yeah, because they...
And the doctor's statement is he wouldn't mind it being a little bit higher because less chance of having a serious issue.
Yeah, dropping too low. They worry about that as you get older, your sensitivity drops, and so if you drop low quickly, you may be symptomatic.
Yeah. Well, what this guy is saying is...
Blood sugar this morning was 94.
Mm. Right. Mm. Because they're saying that this... The most common medications they find, this is most common among type 2 diabetics that have had previous hypertension. And they say the glipizide, metformin, hydrochlorothiazide are sometimes, those three drugs can be associated with this condition. Though they also point out they don't really have a mechanism of action. There's just an observation. The type 2 diabetics on these medicines tend to be more prone to this condition.
Hey, let me ask you
he
this.
He was on metformin about 8 years ago, but he hasn't been on it for at least 5.
Yeah. What about salt? Are you restricting his salt intake?
Yes.
You know, why don't
he does
you...
He half salt, half potassium, or half sodium, half potassium salt. But he gets, when they did blood work less than a couple weeks ago, everything was right where they wanted it to be. So I don't remember the exact number, but they were happy with his test results.
Okay. Well, they may be happy with his test results, but his body clearly is not.
Yeah.
So happy doctor not necessarily mean happy patient. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to offer you, I fear. This is a condition that I have never treated. fact is, this is the only paper I've ever seen on it, and the guys writing the paper basically are saying, we don't understand it, we observe it from time to time, but, you know, we don't really know what's causing it, and we're not sure what to do about it.
Right.
So, and if they don't know, neither do I. So.
Okay. What was it called again?
The paper? Postural.
Orthostatic hypertension.
Yes, orthostatic hypertension. And the paper was published in, hang on 1 second, let me get back up to the top.
Yeah,
2013, and the name of the paper is Orthostatic Hypertension, Recognizing an Underappreciated Clinical Condition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I'm
so that's
not gonna argue that one in the least.
That's right. Well, that's the title of the paper, and you know, and there
so
the text of the paper simply goes the same way.
Sodium more or less?
You know, it's contraintuitive, but they're saying more.
Yeah.
Add a little extra salt in. Okay,
that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Don't wash the salt off on the smoked salmon. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, you know, neither of us have ever treated this. Mm. We're just going by the recommendations in this one paper. And yeah, I learned many years ago, never depend on one paper.
For sure.
Yep. I can find a paper that says just about anything you want it to say. Mm-hmm. What we have to go by in medicine is the preponderance of the evidence. And so you want to say, what do most of the papers say? But when you've only got one paper, that's kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my mother's statement years ago, they're practicing medicine, they haven't perfected it yet.
You got it, my friend.
Practicing, yes.
And I'll tell you right now, you know, I've been in medicine since the 1960s and 70s. Started medical school and got my MD in 1976. So that makes me, what, 47
years? I was 9 years old.
Yeah, 47 years I've practiced medicine. And I am still appalled at the amount of stuff I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I people often call and you know, compliment me on what I do know. I know that there is so much more I don't know than what I do know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spend my life in medical research, and in every paper I read, I answer one question and come up with three new ones.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's never
ending.
Well,
we appreciate your efforts.
So, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye, sir.
All nice to hear him again.
Oh, yes. Yes, and that caller has been with us for a few years.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Patient is 93, so we're glad you're still here with us. Okay, we are headed to Napa Vine now. Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you.
How can we help you?
It's kind of a sensitive topic, but I figure Dr. Mixon is probably the only doctor I could talk to this about, and you would still keep a twinkle in his eye.
Okay. He always has a twinkle in his eye.
All right.
All right. I got a question for you in regards to the physiology of an erection, but not, I mean, your usual format, you describe the whole thing, and that's great because it's general information for everybody. But mm-hmm. I'm concerned mainly about the concept of what's called venous leakage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason I asked that, I had an organic injury to my spinal cord, which... I think does not allow the autonomic nervous system to constrict the veins
mm-hmm.
in order to maintain an erection. I was just wondering, is anything other than surgery be able to counteract that?
Yes. In fact, it is simple, and it's a device that's been used for, God, I don't know. Used to see him around when I was a teenager. It's called a cock ring. It's basically, they make them either out of elastic or rubber, or there's a few mechanical ones that are actually metal, but it you put it around the base of the penis. It has to be tight enough to obstruct the venous outflow, but loose enough to allow the arterial high pressure blood to come into the penis. Okay. And yes, lots of older men have used them because just like you get varicose veins from leaky valves in your legs, you can get leaky valves in your pelvis and in the penis. And so, you know, the erection is caused by the arteries open up and they pump high pressure blood into the penis, which is why it gets hard and erect. But that the veins that allow the blood to leave have to close the valves and hold it in there. And when those venous valves open up, then the blood floods back out. It returns to the heart to be recirculated. And so if you've got a leaky valve, it makes it almost impossible to maintain the erection. So this is a very simple device. Simply slides around the circumference right down at the base. The trick is to get the right size. And that can be tricky for a couple of reasons. For one thing, a flaccid penis is much smaller in diameter. And so one that'll fit you when it's flaccid, as it starts to get erect, it's going to get tighter and tighter and tighter. Okay. And so these come in a variety of sizes. They're most effective in a guy who can get an erection because then you can put one on that's an appropriate size. And then that will help to maintain it and allow it to even get firmer. If you're starting off with a totally flaccid organ, then we've got a sizing problem because if the smallest one works, it's going to be too tight later. But, you know, it's a matter of experimenting. You can go to any store that sells sex toys. Lover's Package is probably the most common one here in Washington State. And, you know, they have a variety of sizes and types and elasticity, and you just have to buy a selection. I mean, I don't know what they cost, 50 cents or a buck, I would guess. Well, no, they're for recreation, probably $5. I don't know.
Have you seen the price of things lately?
No. No. But that's why I was just thinking, okay, we're in Bidenomics. And he will make even sex outrageously expensive. So, but anyway, that's my best suggestion. Yeah, go in and you know, look at the selection. Take them home, you know, play with them until you find the size and shape and distensibility that fits you best.
Would this work again with somebody that has, you know, because I know from what I've read as far as the physiology that the autonomic nervous system or you know, the things that you don't have control over.
Yes.
If it's damaged, yes. Would that still work that in that regard?
Yes, but the trick is to get the stimulation to open the blood supply. But even men that have had total transection of the spinal cord and are completely paralyzed from the chest down, there is still a direct reflex that simply goes from the penis to the base of the spinal cord and back to the penis. Okay, so even men that have a complete transection can... By there, and there are techniques, and you can see papers and articles. Go online and simply look up, you know, stimulating erections for spinal cord injury and so on. The websites that cater to men and men that have had spinal cord injuries address this, a fair number of them, because it's an ongoing problem for, you know, a significant number of people. And many of these men are able to father children. You know, they can't feel it, but they can do it because they can, you know, by actually grabbing and flicking the penis with your finger like you were trying to flick a fly off. But that stimulation, that sudden repeated stimulation will send an impulse to the base of the spine and you get a reflex that will then open up the arterial blood supply.
Okay. All right. I understand exactly what you're saying. So I appreciate your information. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Take care. Thank you for the call, Paul. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with some more callers, and you can call, too, and get in the queue at 1-800-465-8770. And we have an important announcement about some things happening at our clinics in the month of November, and you're going to want to sign up for this and not miss out. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back. You can. It's Leading Edge Medicine and some eagles there. Good morning. I like that one you picked, Dr. Mixon.
That's right.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good. I'm Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat. And before we take our next caller in Arizona, boy, we've been like all over the United States today with our phone calls. And we love that. Yeah, so many of our patients have moved. And of course, we can continue to treat them and answer questions too. Here is that number to get on board with your question. We still have quite a few minutes of our show left today, 1-800-465-8770. Now, the month of November is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. Is that right, Dr. Umat?
Yes, it is. And, you know, pancreatic cancer is one of those that is detected late.
Almost always.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's very little they can offer in terms of cure. And so most people will succumb. It's just a matter of, you know, what kind of treatments and palliative care they can be given. But if you can be diagnosed early, then you can change the trajectory of the future. Mm-hmm. And the Galleri test is one such test that we are fond of in our clinics, and we've carried it since its inception. And it's the only test of its kind available on the market where with one single blood test, they can detect 50 cancers. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for DNA markers in the blood, and then they can kind of highlight which area the DNA markers originate from. And so then you can take that information back to the providers and say, okay, here's where we're looking for the cancer because the signal is coming in from here. And this has saved a lot of time because it helps in early diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so in longevity, where we're about prevention, we have taken this to heart. And for Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, in the month of November, we will be running a couple of specials in our clinics. On November 4th in the Linwood Clinic, if you are interested in doing the Galleri test with our health analysis appointment, we will drop the price of the Galleri test from $1,250 to $1,100.
Mm, that's $150 off.
Yes.
Correct. Good. And so, you know, much cheaper, more affordable. But if you are at all concerned, are at risk, or know somebody in your family that has had it, definitely time to come in and get this done. And then the same will be in Tacoma and in Kirkland on November 18th.
Okay.
So all three clinics will offer it during the month of November. But please, pretty please, call early. Mm-hmm. First, because it's a Saturday, we have to bring our team in specially. So in order to accommodate for that, if you could call the clinics early and let them know that you're interested, get your appointment time, then we will know how many people to plan for.
Wonderful. Yes, this is appointment only, not drop-in.
That's right. No, it is appointment only and not drop-in. And, Dr. Mixon, yes? I almost forgot. I did get permission for this. I did not announce it. I had to wait to get permission. But I have been granted permission to give one bag of Relief Factor for free.
For everybody.
Everybody who comes takes advantage of this offer.
So you get your Galleri test and you get a bag of Relief
and you get your health analysis and your HA blood draw for longevity. So
there
you get
it
all. Yeah.
All right.
Very
good.
Discounting the Galleri test and now, giving the Relief Factor bag for free.
So many things, and you can ask all those questions if we talk too fast for you. The important thing is to know that this is happening next Saturday, which is November 4th in the Linwood Clinic, and that is from next Saturday, 9 to 1. You do need an appointment for this. So here is that number to call if you are interested in taking that Galleri test and the health analysis together.
And the free bag of Relief
Factor. And the free bag of Relief Factor, which I lived with in Italy. It's so helped every morning. Every night I'd go to bed. Every morning woke up ready to jump at it again and walk several miles on cobblestone. So if you haven't tried Relief Factor, oh, this is an awesome opportunity. So many things we're doing for you. November 4th in Linwood. Here is that number to say, sign me up, get me an appointment. That number right now, and you can call it, is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. This is for new patients only. November the 4th for the gallery test and the health analysis and that free bag of Relief Factor. Okay, November 4th. Yes, there was another date. We are going to skip over November 11th, Veterans Day. We don't want you to miss out on that. So we will do it again November 18th. Okay, November 18th. That is 3 weeks from today in our Tacoma and our Kirkland clinics. That is November 18th. If you'd rather go there, if that's closer for you in Tacoma or the brand new Kirkland Clinic, here is that number to call for your appointment. That's for the gallery test and the health analysis test. And of course, we'll give you a bag of Relief Factor to try as well. That number to call is 866-86-YOUNG. And we'll remind folks at the end of our show too. So if you need to grab a pen and paper, we can help you out with that. All right. Ready for some more phone calls?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's go to sunny Arizona. Noni is there. Hi there, Noni. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, Noni.
Good morning. I'm calling in regard to the man who called in about his wife's migraines. And that was my main trigger was rapid barometric pressure changes. Wow. And the last year I was living in Washington in 2018 and 2017, I had a migraine every day.
Oh, dear.
From barometric pressure change as well. And I'm sure there were some other things going on too. But I accidentally discovered this little device called a Zook, and it sounds really hokey, but it's like a little atomizer, and you squeeze it in your ear, pushes air into your ear, and it breaks that whatever is going on, that the barometric pressure causing the migraine. And I had very good success with that. But still, I was having lots of migraines, and I was on my, I was working with a neurologist, and on track to get Botox injections and for migraine. And I was, almost to the end of all jumping through all the hoops and doing all the stuff. I ended up going to a neuromuscular therapist who was an absolute genius. She worked with me. I had 3 one-hour appointments 2 weeks apart, and then would go home and do the little exercises she gave me to do. That was the end of my migraines for the most part. So just
sounds
thought I'd
wonderful.
Pass that on.
Wow.
So the little Zook, it's called Z-O-K, with a little line over the O, and you just look it up online, and the little device is like about $30, and I found it to be quite effective. I was surprised. Called a few weeks ago when Dr. Nelson was there, and gave the same information then for that person. But the neuromuscular therapist was quite the experience. So,
okay.
And I used rizatriptan for my migraines, and that would get rid of them, so I didn't have to go to the emergency room. And so that's what worked for me.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Noni, for that.
I think, Dr. Mixon, you and I have learned something today.
Yeah.
I learn something every day, but this is very informative.
The barometric pressure could have something to do.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Noni. All right. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for that. Dr. Mixon here and Dr. Umat here, ready to answer your calls. I'm Lynette. We're going to go right to Tacoma right now. Casey is on the line. Hi there, Casey.
Hello, Casey. Casey.
Hello.
Casey, good morning.
Yes, we're all here.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call this morning.
You're welcome, sir. How can we help?
I have an 84-year-old sister-in-law who for the last 8 years has been treated for Parkinson's. And originally she had the feeling of electrical sensations going through her body. And her general practitioner said he would bet that she had Parkinson's. And so now, after 8 years of being treated with medications, a neurologist says, no, she doesn't have Parkinson's. Well, her sister, my wife, has been researching online about information about Parkinson's medications, and some of the sites say that the medications can cause tremors over time, irreversible tremors, whereas the neurologist has poo-pooed the idea, saying, no, that there's no evidence that there's no proof that that can happen. So my sister-in-law has a great lack of energy. She has tremors, and it seems like at times the tremors are stronger, and she's really discouraged, and the neurologist just basically says, you know, oh, well, you've got it, live with it. And so my sister-in-law, she doesn't have any voice, hardly. It's very difficult to hear her when she speaks. So we're wondering, does Parkinson's medication over time cause tremors? And what can be done for the sister-in-law?
Well, the first thing you need to do with a sister-in-law is to find out for sure what her diagnosis is.
Right.
You know, if you don't know what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are very poor. And yes, the medications, generally what I see in the literature is that they exacerbate pre-existing tremors. In other words, you may have had a fine tremor, or you may have had a tremor not caused by Parkinson's, and the Parkinsonian medications can actually make those tremors worse, because you're treating somebody for Parkinson's that has tremors from another reason. Okay, not all tremors are Parkinsonian in nature. So, and it sounds as though her initial diagnosis was from a rather atypical presentation. The feeling of electric shocks is not normally the presenting complaint that we get with Parkinson's disease. So I would think that whoever made that diagnosis had reasons beyond that, must have seen something else going on, but you know, I wasn't there and I haven't seen the record, so I can't swear to that. But can the medications cause tremors? Yes, and they can make tremors worse for other causes.
Correct.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, the question now is, what diagnostic criteria are being used? And if it's been called into question, if we're not sure what we're actually dealing with here, then I'd say I'd like to get a neurologist to do a really good workup, including probably a fine detail MRI of the brain. And, you know, we know where in the brain Parkinsonian disease is located. It's in the substantia nigra. And if you can't see dysfunction there, it may not be Parkinson's disease. So there are pathognomonic changes on some imaging studies that will tell you about Parkinson's for sure. And I'd want proof. If I had questions, I'd want to have it double checked.
Yeah, the harder thing is going to be what to do about it.
Yes. But first diagnosis, then therapy. And if you don't know what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are poor.
Right.
And if you've been treating the wrong thing, the earlier you find that out.
I mean, unfortunately, it happens quite a bit. You know, I have this lady that has been diagnosed with migraine headaches, and no treatment for migraine headaches over the last several years has ever worked for her. And then finally, she went to somebody else, and they said, well, that wasn't the right diagnosis in the first place.
And which is why the therapy didn't work.
Oh, man. So one of the drugs that she has been on is amantadine, and the neurologist said that, she can keep taking it if she wants to, but she doesn't really think that the amantadine will do much of anything for her. So I'm thinking maybe a different neurologist, or trying to be really forceful with the insurance company there to get a more thorough exam would be in order.
Right.
Yes.
I would agree, because amantadine, again, is for early Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
And if the tremor is not because of Parkinson's disease, then, you know, I don't know.
Well, and the other problem you've got is that don't count on the insurance company. Okay, this is her body. And if the insurance company doesn't want to pay for it, that doesn't mean she doesn't need it. Sometimes you just have to do things for yourself and pay out of pocket, because they're important.
But also the amantadine can cause side effects of its own. And if you don't have a diagnosis and you don't think it'll help, then why take something that might hurt?
Yes.
True.
Can you stay with us? We're going to take a quick break, Casey, and we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
Feel like a woman.
And we're back. Leading Edge Medicine. Lynette here. Good morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio, and Dr. Samira Umat talking about Parkinson's. Is it Parkinson's or is it not? Medications, do those cause the problems? Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay, Casey with us from Tacoma.
Right. Well, and there is a test that can be done. There is a radionucleotide that bonds to dopamine transporter molecules. And they simply inject this into the vein, then they go ahead and do the imaging studies, and they get a very clear picture of where there is and is not dopamine moving in the brain. And that gives you a pretty darn good idea, because dopamine receptor deficiencies are the cause of Parkinson's disease. So if you see abnormalities of the dopamine transporters, then, you know, you've pretty much got a diagnosis. So
I will say that the initial onset of the light tremor and the electrical feeling in the sister-in-law's body occurred after the death of her husband. And so we're wondering if that trauma at that time, you know, caused a reaction in the brain.
It could have been an emotionally based tremor. It could have been an emotionally triggered tremor, and, you know, these things happen. So, but anyway, a DAT scan is what you're after. So
D-A-T-S-C-A-N,
okay? And that's it's approved by the FDA. That's what it's used for, and, you know, you ought to suggest it to your neurologist.
Okay. So I know that she did go in for one visit with a neurologist, and they gave her some kind of a pill, and she had to wait in the waiting room for a while, and then seeing if there was some kind of reaction, I guess that this was the determination then that she didn't have Parkinson's.
Okay. Again, I don't know. I'm not a neurologist. I'm an aging doctor. You know, Samara and I spend our lives treating the the usual but undesired changes of aging. And so, you know, we give you what help we can in these other kind of off-the-wall conditions. But sometimes about all we can really do is point you in what we hope is the right direction and, you know, talk people to talk to and studies to do to take a look at it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help.
All right.
All right, Casey, thank you for the call. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and here's the number to call. We have room for just a couple more phone calls, 1-800-465-8770. We would love to talk to you live in the studio today, 800-465-8770.
I had a fun patient this week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Tell me something fun.
Well, yes.
His last few calls have not been that much fun.
Well, it's always inspiring for me when I come into work and I have these patience, you know, life happens to everybody, but when your attitude is so good about whatever's coming your way and you're in our program, I mean, this couple has been with us. The husband's not with me. The wife is. They're always coming together. And she's now in her mid to late 80s. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I got to tell you something. I said, what? She said, so the doctor sent me a note saying my bone density scan is good. And she said, well, I wanted to know more. So I called him back and I said, well, you know, what is good? And can you give me more information? So she said, here, they sent me another letter that said, at your age, bone density scan is really very good and normal and you don't need to worry about it. She said, here are the two letters. That's all they told her.
That's all they told her.
Okay. Now, you know, this lady is now upwards of mid 80s. She's approaching 90.
Mm-hmm.
And her bone density scan is normal. Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
In and of itself.
Well,
and then, you know, she measures it regularly on schedule. And she always brings me back the reports. And the last report she had brought had said that her bone density had actually improved a little bit.
Ooh, okay.
And so I thought that was a celebration. It's
that
not
is.
Just, you know, it's normal, yes, but it's better than last time. And this time they wouldn't even tell her the numbers. They just said, well, it's normal. Okay. But it was a nice, fun story. Mm. We had a good laugh at it together.
You know what she ought to be doing is she needs to tell them that you want a copy of the original report sent to Dr. UMAT.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Because that way you will get the numbers.
I know.
From radiology.
I would love to see them. Mm. And, you know, as we're transitioning into EMR, I'm excited because our patients will be able to see their labs as well. And
right.
So sometimes we run into problems. But, yeah. Looking forward to those EMR transitions. But fun patients always make it like, oh my gosh, isn't that nice? And I always tell everybody what you've taught me, Jerry, is that what we try to do is stack the odds in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
So when life happens to you, you're in a better position to handle it.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
You know, you win more often when the odds are in your favor. That's just all there is to it.
Right.
It doesn't guarantee a win.
Right.
But it stacks the odds in your favor, and that's what we're after.
And no matter the outcome, you can deal with it better.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
All right.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, well, you know, I was down in Houston last weekend, and this is the age management conference, so, you know, all the physicians there are interested in trying to do what we do. And it was amazing the number of people at that conference who clearly are just beginners. They're just learning. They're starting age management practices, but their knowledge base is very limited.
It's
almost scary at some of the people that are holding themselves out as age management doctors these days.
You know, when I went last time, I found similar experiences in that, you know, you and I know so much more, and we go sit in those conferences sometimes and go, we're wasting our time.
Yes.
We should be teaching these.
Yes.
I know. And then, you know, you fail. Okay. Well, they got to start somewhere. At least they're doing the right thing.
At least they're trying.
By coming to a conference, hearing other people who do it, learn from their experience.
But what they should be doing is A, go to the conference, but then B, join a clinic such as ours with more experienced doctors.
Yeah.
And gain their experience under the tutelage of people that have been doing it a while.
I know. And especially all these small practices where they're all by themselves.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make it work and they're not sure if they should build insurance or not. It can the patient pay, and it's just like, it's such a quagmire. And they get sucked in. You did the right thing, Jerry. I mean, in those days, it was unheard of to say, you know what, I'm not going to take insurance.
Going back to work for the patient, yeah. Not the insurance company.
There you go.
Because the insurance company doesn't want you doing a lot of the stuff we do.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. So if you're going to do it, you have to do it right, and that means that your only real boss can be the patient.
Right.
Not the insurance company.
And to this day, we vet everything that comes out. Even at these conferences, everybody's willing to sell you something. They want you to buy. But we bring back the information, and then when I go, I bring it back, and Jerry and I mull it over, and then Jerry goes off to some other conference, and then he meets some new people, and then he goes to their industry and their plant, and then we vet it. We look at
yes,
the data before we decide, yes, this is legit. Yes, this is worth stepping into.
And sometimes our answer is, let's give it a year to mature,
yeah.
or 2 years to mature
yes.
before we start doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And of course, one of the most personally satisfying things for me is when I get a whole bunch of doctors at the other clinic who want to know what I'm doing
yeah.
to stay as fit and vital as I am.
Yeah, I wanted to know if those doctors looked as good as you do, Dr. Jerry.
No, they don't.
Okay. And that's huge.
And so they're sending me emails wanting to know what my regimen is and what I am doing because they want to do it, mm-hmm. which is really kind of fun. So, yeah, so I sent several emails off this week to doctors that had emailed me wanting to know, what a hell are you doing? And
yeah.
can we do it too?
Yeah, can we do it too?
Dr. Mixon came to the office the other day and I was like apologizing because the curtain wasn't right. And I said, you know, there's no privacy here. And he looks at me and goes, I'm a showman. What
showman.
Privacy are you talking about?
There you go. I don't need no privacy.
Privacy? I don't need no privacy.
And then the crowd gathered.
Yes.
And no.
Yes, it did. Everybody in the office came to ask him how he was doing.
I know. It was kind of fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we've got two more calls. We're going to take a break
let's
quick. And then Susie will be back with you and Barbara in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. This one, a little old time rock and roll.
Do love old time rock and roll.
Yes. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Good morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon here and Dr. Samira Umat. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we are going to go to South Carolina. Ooh. I've got Susie on the line. Susie, do you have one of those sweet southern drawls?
I do not, because I'm from Seattle.
Okay.
There are no magnolias in her voice.
There you go. Well,
southern drawl.
That's right. Susie from Seattle.
Susie from Seattle. I love
wonderful.
The women with their sweet drawl. The men are a little bit odd, but the women are wonderful. Anyway, because I was raised in Seattle, from teenage years on, when my period started, I had migraines, and of course the PMS was insane, and the migraines, and living in Seattle, I had barometric pressure headaches also. We have about four barometers scattered throughout the house, so we can check the pressures.
Uh-huh.
And, but we moved to South Carolina 5 years ago, and I was on Jerry Nixon's, my doctor, I was with you from 2006 until we moved here 5 years ago, 2018. We were on your hormone plan, and because I had a hysterectomy in 2005, my hormones exploded. Instead of having them just periodically, I had them every day. And after a year on Relpax and Butalbital, my primary doctor says, you know, you can't go on with this Butalbital every day for your migraines. And so I came and saw Dr. Mixon, and within 6 months, my migraines were regulated and my blood pressure regulated, and it was like a godsend. So then now I'm 72. So 5 years ago, we moved to South Carolina, and I didn't have hormone migraines anymore because of my hormone therapy, which we were able to continue here. And I didn't have barometric pressure headaches because we live in South Carolina and not on the Pacific Coast. And so I started getting headaches when we moved into our new house 5 years ago, because at that time, all these LED lights became prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in Seattle a month ago at a funeral, and I had to change a light bulb where I was staying at my niece's house. And I went to the closet, and she had all incandescent bulbs, boxes and boxes and boxes of incandescent bulbs. I thought, where did you get these? You can't even buy them anymore. She says, I order them on Amazon because LED lights give me migraines. And I thought, ding dong. So I've always done the blue light blocking thing. I used to get these red eye cling shields that go over our cell phones to block the blue light emissions. Mm-hmm. And I have for years and years put a red chiffon cloth over my TV at night to block the blue light emissions. I mean, I'm a nutcase. I put red linen table or linen napkins over my lamps at night to block the blue light. And so I knew there was something with blue light. And then she told me about the LEDs. Well, my whole house was full of LEDs since we couldn't get incandescents. So she said, so I ordered a bunch of incandescent light bulbs from Amazon in all the main rooms where I have my lamps and at my counter in the kitchen. Everything has an incandescent light. And as soon as I quit doing that, because I started getting headaches when I started when we moved here and put in the LEDs, but I didn't put two and two together till my niece told me that a month ago. And so as soon as I put the LED lights in the garbage and replaced them with incandescents, and then I bought blue light blocker lenses from Amazon to put over my glasses, the headaches went away. And so I'm sitting here. I haven't had medicine for 2 weeks.
But you realize that Uncle Joe Biden is going to be very upset with you. Because
he'll forget about it.
What am I going to do?
That's right.
He'll think it's Christmas light.
Well,
yeah, one thing.
You can buy that,
and that's a very simple, cheap, great way to address blue light. By the way, is your glasses, so everything going in your eye has been filtered.
There you go.
One thing not incandescent.
LED.
The LEDs, the diodes, is they can be tuned. Mm. The standard diode tune is more blue. But you can actually buy the LEDs that are tuned warmer, with more red and less blue.
Mm-hmm.
Those diodes can make any color. They can come out red, blue, green, yellow, pink, whatever color you want. But when you go to the store to buy your LEDs, look at the color. It'll tell
spectrum,
you right on it. Yeah, and there's a spectrum, and they've got the bluest, and they've also got the reddest.
Oh wow!
And so you want the warm red ones.
Red ones. Mm. That's the one we use with our hydrofacials.
Yeah.
We do LED light therapy for skin rejuvenation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what most people don't realize. You don't have to take the standard LED.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Thank you for your call, Susie. Oh, go ahead.
It depends on the power.
Like the blue one.
It depends on how much power is going into them. If it's marginal, if it's low power, then you may get some flicker.
Uh-huh.
But the higher the amount of current going in, the less chance of flicker.
Oh. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Oh, that's good information.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yes, it really helped my headaches. I haven't had one since I changed the lights in my blue light.
Okay.
So thank you, Dr. Mixon.
Take care, my dear.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Susie.
Thanks for calling, Susie.
All right. One more call today. We've got Barbara calling from Olympia. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
How can we help?
Several years ago, I did a sleep study, and nothing really came out of it except that I was marginal on my ability to sleep. But in the meantime, my issue is restless leg syndrome, which is kind of self-diagnosed with the neurologist. And
I've been prescribed Ropinirole for several years now. And what I found is that I've had to increase the dosage. And what you were talking about earlier was with some of these medications, the amount increases but doesn't cure or doesn't take care of it. So I guess I'm wondering, is restless leg syndrome a precursor to any other diseases?
I guess it depends on how you're going to define the disease. Restless syndrome appears to be a dopamine receptor lack. And so these are dopamine agonists they give you to increase the amount of dopamine in your brain, which makes you happier, but can also predispose you to obsessive behaviors of one sort or another. So you want to use just enough to solve your problems, or at least get your problems controlled. You don't want to push the doses too high. And as people age, their dopamine receptor issues tend to get worse. So it does start requiring higher and higher doses and sometimes more than one medication to keep it controlled.
I'm also using clonazepam.
Okay, well, clonazepam is a sedative, helps you mellow out and relax and get some sleep at night. So it's not a bad drug. It is an addictive drug. So, once more, tachyphylaxis, the requirement to get more and more of the same drug to get the same effect, is always an issue. And so is dependence eventually. The least amount to do the job. That's my...
So is there an actual diagnosis for restless leg syndrome to eliminate it from any other possible known diseases?
I don't know if there's an imaging study specifically to recognize that. There is the DAT scan that looks at dopamine transporter. And this is a form of a dopamine receptor. So it's related to Parkinson's in that it does tend to be a neurodegenerative disease, and it does tend to get worse with age. I'm not sure if a DAT scan would be useful in this situation or not. I know it's used with Parkinson's, but I don't know about restless leg.
Yeah, what I'm seeing, Jerry, generally would be just a good neuro exam, maybe a sleep study like she's had before, but nothing else for diagnostic purposes.
Yeah.
Mostly a good physical exam with a good medical history, a good neuro exam, and a sleep study.
And a doctor who's used to working with it.
Right.
So a specialist of some sort.
Mm.
Right, and I have done a couple of sleep studies, and nothing was significant that came out of it, except that the recommendation was to use an assistance for breathing, but that it wasn't necessary. I'm marginal on the amount that I need.
Okay.
So,
well, of course, nocturnal hypoxia, not getting enough oxygen in the night, can make almost every neurologic problem worse. So, you might actually find that if you were to oxygenate better in the night, your restless leg might resolve. Mm. It would be an interesting trial, at least.
Yeah. I've tried it, and it was difficult to deal with. But I will take another look at that.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Barbara.
Appreciate the call.
Good luck.
Bye-bye, dear. Yeah.
Have a great day. Just a minute or two left of our show today. We do want to remind you of some important dates coming up at our longevity medical clinics. November, which is just days away, is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. And because of that, we are again doing our gallery tests.
That's right. Mm-hmm. On November 4th in the Linwood Clinic, a gallery test reduced from $1,250 to $1,100. $100 along with a health analysis visit and a free bag of Relief Factor.
Yes, yes, that's happening November 4th from 9 to 1. However, you do need to make your appointment, and this is how you do it. You give us a call, 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG. This does fill up quickly, so yeah. If you're thinking about it, make sure to make that appointment
right
away.
And you know, Linwood has not had this promotion
that's
before,
right.
So I know the people that over there are waiting, so we're looking forward to offering it to them.
November 4th at our Linwood Longevity Medical Clinic. Then later on in the month of November, on the 18th, November 18th, 3 weeks from today, we will be doing that same
same promotion.
Same promotion.
In Tacoma and in Kirkland on the same day on Saturday. And it is gallery test discounted from $1,250 to $1,100, along with a longevity health analysis visit and a free one-hour doctor visit. And then we will also give the free bag of Relief Factor for everybody who comes in.
That sounds wonderful. Okay, have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back live in the studio again next week. That's in November. So thank you so much. Again, the phone number to call to make that appointment, very important. Or if you have any questions, you can call us at 866-86-YOUNG. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next time. Thank you for listening.